My pleasure, Steve. Always good to hear your voice and talk with you.
All right. So Roethlisberger is the Steelers say he's coming back. What can this offseason mean if there's more of a normal offseason, even though it won't be completely, but to recondition that arm to a point where they can take more shots instead of being a dink-and-dunk team?
You know, it's a good question. And it seemed like the combination of his age and that surgery he had and COVID and everything that goes along with that, I don't think he had a very normal offseason. Although, you know, Steve, I don't know how much you would have thrown the ball anyway. You know, I mean, they might not have wanted him to throw very much anyway. So maybe it didn't really make a difference. I think the hope would be that a year removed and a full offseason of actually training and strengthening that thing would help him, you know, keep that thing stronger and be more productive in 2021.
Right, so now let's flip it to the other side of the state. And the other side of the state, Sirianni takes over as the head coach. Brian Johnson's coming in as the OC quarterback coach. What was your thought on that hire by the Philadelphia Eagles?
You know, it's funny because when they hired Sirianni, it kind of reminded me of when they hired Doug Peterson. You know,
yes.
They had Andy Reid for so long, Steve. He was so good. And then they had a bad year, so they said, okay, let's move on. They go to Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly was obviously a disaster, and it was almost like they longed for the Andy Reid type again, and they couldn't get Andy Reid anymore. He was coaching the Chiefs. So they got the next best thing, and the next best thing was Doug Peterson, Andy Reid's offensive coordinator. It almost feels to me like they wish they could hire Frank Reich as their head coach, because they really like Frank Reich. Carson Wentz really likes Frank Reich. But Frank Reich is the head coach of the Colts now. So they're not able to do that. So instead, they had to go with the next best thing, which is Frank Reich's offensive coordinator and the guy that, when he got the job in Indianapolis, the first guy Frank Reich hired was Nick Sirianni, who he hadn't been with for a couple years. I mean, Frank Reich had been in Philadelphia in 16 and 17, but he thought that highly of Sirianni that he said, no, this guy's my OC, and he brought him from the Chargers.
Amazing. Now, the big question is going to be, what does it mean for Carson Wentz? When you watched Carson Wentz, how much of it to you is a product of Carson Wentz? And how much of it to you was a product of Carson Wentz trying to play behind an offensive line that seemed week by week from the preseason with Pucaron was decimated?
Honestly, Steve, I'm not one of those guys. You know this. I'm not one of those guys that always blames the quarterback or the coach. I think it's a team game. I played offensive line, as you know.
Yep.
It was a lot of Carson Wentz. I mean, it was a lot of Carson Wentz. You know, he got real gun-shy. He was hesitant to throw the ball, to pull the trigger. And as they were losing guys on the O-line, that just compounded things. You know, I almost feel like he started to hear what people were saying about him with the turnovers and the interceptions. And so he started to get real hesitant to throw the ball. And the receivers they had weren't really getting a whole lot of separation. So, as usual, it's a combination of a lot of things, but in that Green Bay game, when he started to look down at the rush shortly after he got the ball, I knew he was done. I knew it was over. I knew they had to replace him. Because as soon as a quarterback is looking at the rush rather than their eyes downfield, they're a dead man. You just can't play that position that way.
Quarterback should be looking up at the safety to start with and then start trickling down after that. You're looking at the rush. I mean, it's like the golfer that looks at the pond.
Right. You know what's crazy, too, Steve? You know, I grew up a big Eagles fan, big Penn State fan. It's kind of crazy, isn't it, that in the same year, the quarterbacks for both programs regressed as much as they did, and it was so surprising. You know, I mean, Wentz, I don't know what happened there, you know. Clifford, at least I guess you could say he had a new offensive coordinator or system, but it's kind of bizarre how both those guys hadn't really turned it over. That hadn't been an issue for them. And then this past year, they both turned it over a ton. It was like bad juju, bad mojo for the Eagles and the Penn State this year.
Now, you bring up Penn State. So Mike Yurcich comes in as the offensive coordinator. As you and I both know, the work he did it for years at Oklahoma State, and then this past season was the OC with Texas. What was your thought on that hire?
Well, Yurcich is really, really highly regarded. Really highly regarded. And it almost feels to me as if, you know, maybe Penn State, I've seen this speculated, but maybe Penn State wanted to get Yurcich a year ago and got outbid by Texas. You know, you never know. And then now that he was available this year, now they thought, okay, now we can get him. It's funny, I know guys, Steve, that were on the same coaching staff with him at Shippensburg. And they still tell the story of when Gundy called the office looking for Yurcich, didn't know how to pronounce his last name, and all he knew was that Shippensburg was absolutely lighting it up. And he wouldn't leave his name. They'd recognize his voice. So he's come a long way in a short time, but a lot of people give him credit for what Fields did a couple years ago, and obviously Oklahoma State. Although, you know what? Oklahoma State seemingly always has a pretty good offense.
Yeah, no, they do along the way. The Super Bowl matchup is obviously going to be next week. So it's Tampa Bay and Kansas City. What's stick now? We all know the quarterbacks stick out about the matchup. Okay. You're not one that's into the low hanging fruit. That's why I like talking to you about things. I mean, what are a couple of other elements that you're looking at besides the low hanging fruit in this game?
Bucs D ends against the Chiefs offensive tackles. You know,
there
I
you
said
go.
It last week. On the Ross Tucker podcast before that matchup, you know, no Bakhtiari for the Packers, and I knew JPP and Shaq Parrott going against those tackles for the Packers was a mismatch for the Bucs. Steve, they had five sacks. I mean, five
right.
sacks between them. Shaq Parrott had three. JPP had two. Now Eric Fisher is out for the Chiefs. Now you got Mike Remmers and Andrew Wiley at offensive tackle. That is a matchup the Bucs can and have to win. Those guys have to be all over Patrick Mahomes all game without having to blitz.
And that's a big part of it, because if you blitz, you have to play man. If you don't blitz, you can run anything you want back there.
Yeah, they got to get pressure with four men. They were able to do it against Green Bay a lot. You bring that extra guy, you're going to have somebody's going to be man-to-man against Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce, and that's just almost never going to happen. Those guys are unbelievable. I was on the sideline Sunday, Steve. I think Tyreek Hill, you won't convince me that from flat-footed for the first 15 yards that he's not the fastest human being in the world. Now, I know, like Usain Bolt, sprinter stand 100 meters. I get it, right? Like, he would beat him. But I'm saying flat-footed standing up, you know, no momentum, flat-footed for the first 15 yards, wow. It's like K.J. Hamler on steroids, Steve. It is like breathtaking.
From that field view, what did you think of the Kansas City secondary? Because when I went through the weekend, I said there were three dominant areas I saw. The rush by Tampa. Two, I thought the Tampa offensive line, and three was the Kansas City secondary. Did I do okay?
So good. So good. That's the thing that people don't realize, and I'm not even sure I realized it. The Chiefs' DBs, in particular their corners, they are good. I mean, they are really good, and they're not household names. I mean, people probably know Bashaud Breeland, but I don't think a lot of people know, you know, Fenton. And Legarius Sneed, the rookie from Louisiana Tech, and some of the other guys. Ward, Javarius Ward's been awesome this year. I mean, they played the Bills press man, and the Bills have some darn good receivers against man-to-man coverage, and they had those guys on lockdown most of the time.
Yeah, and And Sorensen's come on and played well the last couple of years. Matthew, to me, is a guy that, you know, he finds the ball, always finds the ball. Hey, I've got to ask you about one of my favorite topics at myfrontpagestory.com, because you and I have talked about this before, but with so many special events coming up, I think this is a really great thing to talk to people about.
Well, here's the thing, especially for Valentine's Day, to be able to talk to one of their writers for 10 minutes and they write the most unbelievable story about your wife or girlfriend or fiance, and for you to then get it, it looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. It looks like it's on the cover of the Sunbury Daily item. It looks beautiful. Picture of her. When you give it to your wife and you say, hey, honey, I want to do something special for you this year, so I had a story written about you, that just sounds awesome. Like, who gets a story written about somebody? And then when she actually reads the story and there's quotes from you saying, I never thank her enough for everything she does for the family, I'm just telling you, she will cry and you will win. MyFrontPageStory.com. Trust me, fellas, MyFrontPageStory.com.
It is awesome, and I hope people take advantage of it. We've taken too much advantage of your time today. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you very much, Ross.
Of course, Steve. Anytime, man. Take care.